Father, when we come before you, we need no masks. No hiding of ourself is possible or necessary. We are known and we are loved. Holy Spirit, come and reassure each person here this morning of that fact in our own lives. Because, Lord, I ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. On December the 7th, 1988, an earthquake devastated the northwestern section of Armenia, killing an estimated 25,000 people. In one small town, just after the earthquake, a father rushed to his son's school, and he found the school had been totally flattened. There was no sign of life. He'd often told his son, "No matter what, I'll always be there for you when you need me." So though his prospects appeared hopeless, the father began feverishly removing the rubble from where he believed his son's classroom was. Other forlorn parents only wailed hopelessly. Some told the father to go home because there's no chance any of the children could be alive. But he replied, "I made my son a promise that I'd always be there if he needed me. I must and I will continue to dig." Courageously, he worked alone. No one volunteered to help him. He simply had to know for himself if his son was alive or dead. Finding strength and endurance beyond himself, the faithful, loving father continued to dig for 8 hours, for 12 hours, for 24 hours, for 36 hours, and then in the 38th hour, he heaved away a large piece of rubble. He heard voices. He shouted the name of his son, and a child's voice responded, "Dad, Dad, it's me. I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you'd save me, and that when you saved me, you'd save them as well. You did it, Dad." Moments later, the dad was helping his son and 30 more frightened, hungry and thirsty boys and girls climb out of the debris. They were free at last. When the townspeople praised the man, his explanation was, "I promise my son, no matter what, I'll be there for you." At that point in time, that child needed his father. He told his son, "I'll always be there for you, no matter what." And Jesus tells us the same thing this morning. Jesus tells us not to worry because God the Father knows what you and I need. And he'll always be there for us no matter what. We can trust him for all things. Are you a worrier? This local church had some useful advice, although it could have been put a bit differently. There are some people that seem to worry about everything, while some people seem to worry about nothing. At least it seems like that from the outside. We can worry about all sorts of things. Our jobs, finances, our relationships, our health. If you're a parent, you worry when your children are not very well. For some in our country and in other areas of the world, worry can be about having no food, nowhere to sleep. We worry about things that are out of our control. We can worry about things from the past, what we said, what we did. If we could just go back, will what we said or did come back to haunt us one day? What if others find out about our past? We can worry about the future. What will happen? What if? Just suppose this or that. And sometimes our minds can run riot. But worrying about the past or the future can paralyse us in the present if we don't learn how to deal with it. So how do you and I deal with worry? Maybe we chat with a trusted friend. Maybe you don't chat with anybody. Maybe you're a person who bottles your worry up inside, thinking that no one can see. But often, sometimes how we react to other people can tell there's something not right with us. Maybe you've prayed. Maybe you've prayed as a last resort. Pray because you didn't know what else to do, even though you may not know if God's there at all, let alone if he'll answer your prayer. Maybe, like me, you've prayed because you do believe and trust that God can help and deal with the worries that you have. Not that our worries just disappear, but you believe that God can give you a sense of peace in the situation that you're concerned about. Praying and believing in God is a personal thing. But I believe that each of us is challenged from time to time on what we really believe. Because things happen in life. It causes us to question, causes us to challenge what we really believe. Or what we don't believe when people say that they don't believe. When there's an absence of faith. Is God real? Do I believe? Do I not believe because of just what other people are telling me? Or have I found something out for myself? Accepting Jesus into our lives is a personal thing. What I believe about Jesus and my faith affects me, affects my eternity. What decision you make about Jesus affects you, affects your eternity and nobody else. It's a matter of faith, it's a matter of trust. For me, God can be trusted. Only you know for yourself. It can be hard to trust God when worries arise, especially when we want immediate answers to the concerns we have, and all we can see in front of us is the mountain. In life, we trust people. We let our guard down and we trust people. And trust, though it's a small word, carries with it a lot of responsibility for those being trusted. And sometimes people can let us down. As a Christian, we trust in God. And it's just like that human relationship that we have with other people. The relationship grows. The trust increases. Are you and I in a position where we can totally trust God with our worries and our concerns this morning? If not, is it time you and I gave God a chance? Does worrying mean we doubt what God can do? On face value, I suppose it does. But none of us knows how we will react in certain situations that arise. It's so important that we don't let worry control us. Because Jesus knows that worry will take over our lives if we let it. We can get caught in a cycle that we can't break, where we can worry about every single thing. A funny story is told of a man whose co-workers noticed that he was coming into work each day, looking more and more worried. As the days went by, he looked worse and worse. Eventually, one of his co-workers asked him, What are you so worried about? He said, well, a few years ago I went home one day and my wife was whistling tea for two. Shortly afterwards, she became pregnant and we had twins. On the following year, I went home and she was watching The Three Musketeers. Shortly after, she became pregnant again and we had triplets. You can guess where this is going, can't you? So why are you worried now, he said. Well, last night I went home and she was reading the book, The Birth of a Nation. It's very interesting where this passage about worrying comes. It's just after Jesus has been telling people they cannot love both God and money. Having more money can often be associated with more security, less stress, less worry. It can often be seen as having a safety net for when problems come along. But in all honesty, having more money, putting our trust in having more money, doesn't take away worry. We can't and we shouldn't put our trust in money. Having more money doesn't stop us worrying about our children, whatever age they're at. Doesn't stop us worrying about our health and of those we love. Doesn't stop us worrying about what may happen in the future. Doesn't stop us worrying about what has happened in the past. Jesus is telling the people not to worry because God the Father knows each one of them. He knows their needs. He'll provide for them, whatever it is. He isn't saying don't be concerned. I've got two children who are grown up now, they're 24 and 26. And sometimes you're concerned about your children. But a concern becomes a worry when it dominates every hour of every day. Is there something going on in your life that you are continually worrying about? Is it something that you'd consider prayer for? It may not be that we're worrying about what we shall eat or what clothes we'll wear, although, as I've already said, some people in the world, in our own country, it is. It could be the result of a health test. It could be you're worried about a decision you've got to make. You're worried about your job. You're worried about someone that you love. You're worried about a close friend. It could be all of the above. Maybe you're worried about the future. If God is true to his word, then he can bring us a real sense of peace no matter what the future may bring. He can bring hope even into the most hopeless of situations, as many people have found out to be true in their own lives and have borne witness to that fact. If you're worried about the past, Jesus' death and resurrection dealt with it. As a Christian, we're already set free from our past. We need to know it. We need to believe it, because God's word tells us that. If you've not got to that point of asking Jesus into your life, then you need to know that Jesus died to set you free. There is nothing, as the hymn goes, absolutely nothing that you can have done in your life that the death of Jesus cannot deal with. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you and I can have done that God cannot forgive us for. As you grow in your relationship with Jesus, you realise it can be trusted in all circumstances, even in the dark times, and there will be. When you wonder what God is doing, you may not feel that God is near, but sometimes our feelings are based on what we think we know and not on the truth. Sometimes in our relationships, for whatever happens, you can have an argument, something, and we don't feel loved. But the truth is, we are. It's just that whatever's happened in that time. I believe that God is never far away, but sometimes it does feel as though he is. It's at these times that we need others to be praying for us. Sometimes even as Christians, worry can overtake us because the situations we face seem immense, seem insurmountable. How we need others to lift us up, that we don't lose sight of how big our God is, the God who we worship. In verses 26, 27 and 32, Jesus makes three important points. The first one is a logical point. In verse 27 he says, what difference does worrying make? Does worrying about a situation make it easier? Does it make it better in any way? Will it solve the problem? Will it make everything all right? Of course it doesn't. In fact, often worrying has the opposite effect. It has a negative effect. Worrying is more likely to increase our stress levels, our blood pressure, our heart rate, our adrenaline, the amount of cortisol in our body. If these high levels of adrenaline and cortisol persist for a long period of time, then it can have a negative effect on our health and cause other health issues. We probably know this, but sometimes we still worry. The second point, and is a very important point, and I can't stress this enough. In verse 26, Jesus states how valuable you and I are. Do you know how valuable you are to God this morning? You sitting in that chair, listening to me, do you realise how valuable you are? Maybe you don't feel valued. Maybe you don't feel significant. Maybe you don't feel loved. God will never love you and me any more or any less than he does now. You and I are special people. We are unique. There will never be another person like you. There will never be another person like me. God sent Jesus to die for you, and he sent to die for me, because he loved you and he loved me so much. Each of us is valuable to him. We're accepted by him. It doesn't matter what the baggage we carry, how much baggage we carry. He gave his only son that you and I could have that relationship with him. He loved you and me before we first loved him. He loves you and me when we go our own way. He loves us and he wants the best for us, just like any parent does. How much does it hurt God when we don't speak to him? What parent doesn't hurt when a relationship with their child breaks down? They just want to show the child that they're there for them no matter what. They want to give them a hug, but they don't want to know. That's the same really in our relationship with God. We become a Christian, we have that relationship with God, and that relationship doesn't change. When I become a Christian, I became a child of God. God became our Father, and that will never alter. But the fellowship that we have with God sometimes breaks down. We can lose that closeness. We can lose that fellowship. It's a bit like I am with Ruth and Ben. I've said this many times. They'll always be my children. But if we had a mass argument, and they said, "I'm not going to speak to Dad anymore," and they went to Australia, our fellowship would be totally and utterly devastated. They'd still be my children. I'd still be their dad. But that fellowship would break down. What fellowship do you and I have with God, our Father, this morning? How devastated is God if we've made that commitment to him and then we spend no time with him? What time do you and I spend with God? Have you allowed or are allowing something to come between you and God because they've become more important? Have you lost that real sense of presence in your life? Have you allowed worry to replace the peace that God wants to give you? God knows you and me inside and out. I said in my prayer, there are no masks with God. No masks whatsoever. Any mask that we try to wear is just like glass. God sees right through it, because he knows what's going on here. He knows what drives you. He knows what drives me. He knows our weak points. He knows our strong points. He knows the things that concern us. He knows the things that frustrate us. He knows the things that anger us. He knows the things that make us sad. He knows the things that make us happy. He knows about everything that's going on in your life. He knows everything that's going on in my life. We don't need to worry about the future, because we can be sure that he'll never leave us, forsake us. We don't need to worry about the past, because the Bible tells us when we confess our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We can move forward knowing that our sin is dealt with. When we lay it before the foot of the cross, it's done with. We can leave it. It's gone. God no longer holds it against us. We are clean and we can move forward. And our God sometimes wants us to move forward, but we don't, because we go and pick it back up again. Why do we do that? God wants you and me free. Final point. In the final few verses, Jesus again tells us not to worry. Instead of worrying, Jesus tells us to seek first his kingdom. How we need to let God have rule and reign in our life. We need to allow God in and give God a chance to bring the peace into the situations that we find ourselves. How we need to seek to do what's right, even when it means sometimes we stand out from the crowd. It's a decision that you and I have to choose to make. Finally, in verse 34, Jesus tells us not to worry for a third time. This time, it's about tomorrow, because tomorrow is another day. It will bring with it its own problems, its own joys. Don't overload today with tomorrow's worries. We can deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Don't let your mind race ahead. You and I can know the peace of God in our life today and know in our heart just how important and how precious we are to Him. Will you give God a chance this morning? Will you give all your worries over to Him? I pray that each of us can and that we do. Let's just finish with a prayer. Father, thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us. You call each one of us by name. You see what's going on in our lives. You know what motivates us. You know what makes us the people that we are. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would trust in you. Father, you know all the worrying that's going on in this place this morning. You know with the burdens that we've come in with the worries, the concerns. Father, come in power and release us from those worries and concerns. Come and bring peace into each and every life this morning. That, Lord, that we can trust in you, that we would know that we can trust in you, and that we can share with others, Lord, this time next week, Lord, what you have done this week in our lives. Come bring encouragement. Father, we lay our things at the feet of your cross, knowing, Father, that you love us so much. Lord, because I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.